Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
AM 950, Jeff, the progressive Jeff, voice of Minnesota. Jeff. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is a daily show he does down in Iowa. Quite good. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report as well. I'll get that posted up a little bit later on. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, how are things this fine Wednesday?
They are doing well. I want to... I'm wondering how, I know you are, no, you come on the show, you do, I think most of the time, you do a fairly good job of being fairly neutral in the middle of the road, most of the time, but I do know you are on, the station you're on, it runs more conservative talkers. And even though your show might not necessarily be a defined conservative talk show host, I think you're just more of your standard Iowa talk show host, and you just cover what's going on. But you do have that there. Yesterday was a pretty big landmark day because there is no way anyone on this planet, after that memo was released in that lawsuit, which said that the Trump administration and the Trump campaign knew on November 14th, that none of the allegations of voter fraud in any of that these people were making were true. They knew it. And so anything that happened after November 14th, since they knew there was no fraud there, that basically it's based, it was the coup attempt. It was an attempt to overthrow a legitimate election.
And?
Well, and what?
And you're expecting what? That people who followed those folks into battle are now going to say, why, we've been hornswoggled and hoodwinked, and we're never going to ever again. No, I mean, you would think that it would discredit everything that came after. You would think that it would put a pin in the balloon of those who are still trying to push these efforts. But what did I get in as a news release yesterday? I got a news release about a J6 for Justice rally at the state capitol in Iowa this weekend, because last week's in Washington was such a flippin' success, obviously. I mean, it's one of these things where I think if you were a devotee and you drunk the Kool-Aid and you're all about it, then you're going to simply say, well, I don't believe this because I can't believe anything I hear from Washington or the fake media. I mean, if you're that deep in the tank, the release of a memo is not going to make any difference.
But last week, you had your Washington, D.C. justice for the, quote, justice for the January 6th people. You had that rally, and no one showed up. The media was there.
Why don't you? Because it was a setup. It was a trap. They were all FBI agents who were in attendance. I mean, this is what I was seeing on social media over the weekend.
Well, no, I understand those are the excuses they're making up.
Yeah, I know.
But
I
these
know.
Are the excuses they're making up. But the reality is no one showed up. And what I think what you're looking at this is, and I've said this for a long time, Trumpism is clearly a minority of this country. I think it might even be a minority of the Republican Party. But the reality is that they have learned that the screaming howler monkey gets the attention. And sure. Nothing was, I mean, and we're just seeing this play out. I mean, a reminder of what Trump does. Yesterday, at the end of the day, what did he do? He filed a lawsuit, a laughable lawsuit against the New York Times and his own niece, Mary Trump. And he did that. Why was he doing that? Because he was desperately trying to get this story where they all, there is no reason for them to host that rally. There was no reason for them to draw up the 6-bullet-point plan to overthrow the government on the election day itself. There was no point in it because they all knew it. He was trying desperately to get that off the air because, once again, yeah, you're right. There is a very loyal base to him, but I don't think it's the majority. And I think we're seeing the reality is that even a lot of moderate, even a lot of middle-of-the-road Republicans are like, yeah, I'm done with this clown car show.
Well, three things come to mind. One, you're right. I do an interview program. I don't do a commentary program. So while Matt McNeil tells his audience how he feels. I don't. That's not the kind of program I do. And you're right. The other, I don't know, 15, the next 15 hours is full of middle-aged white guys telling you what they think.
I mean, I'm a little, I got a little indigestion right now. Just FYI, just letting you know how I feel right now. A little off. That must be the popcorn from the movie theater.
Thank you for sharing all of those things. But you know, the as you look at Trump and the lawsuit, what did he say when the book was going to come out? First, did he not try to stop the book from coming out? And then that, of course, was not going to work. And his claim at the time was the information in the book is a breach of confidentiality agreements, which have been his stock in trade, have they not? And what did Mary Trump say? I don't care. I'll give back the money. Fine. Go ahead. I admit I'm violating the confidentiality agreement. She doesn't care. And so I don't know what the purpose was of filing the lawsuit other than distraction,
yep,
which is what you're suggesting. Or somebody said, we never did follow through on that. You better follow through before Thanksgiving. I don't want her sniffing around Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. I truly don't know. When you said, though, the third thing that comes to mind when you said it's not even a majority of the Republican Party, Trump aficionados, define the Republican Party, because I don't think there is a Republican Party right now. You've got the Trump wing, you've got the non-Trump wing, and you have a lot of followers who are just kind of buffeted about. There are folks who pay attention, but not deep, deep attention, who say, you know what, that Trump guy, he was like a bull in a china shop, and my retirement went way up, and that's all I care. That's not a very nuanced argument, but hey, people have voted on less of arguments over the course of time.
It is, so it's remarkable how the Republicans get the voters, especially moderate Republicans, who are looking at what's going on within their own party, and they still don't even bat an eye. They still quickly, check the Trump box.
Well, and so you've got those people who, if it is Trump, they're going to show up because it's a rock star thing. But where are they going to be in the midterms? There are a lot of Republicans, I think this is fair to say, who look and say, we're the party out of power in the White House. We ought to clean up in the midterms. And they're not thinking of specifics. A, redistricting. B, the fact that the Senate is not a map that's favorable to them. C, all of the Trump show, okay? All of these things, they're just sitting back going, history's on our side. Yes, but history was also not in favor of Donald Trump getting your party's nomination and winning in 2016. So if ever there is a time to take a look at what honestly is playing out, as opposed to hero worship or, we've always done it this way, this is the time, but I'm not seeing anything from the right other than them pointing,
aren't we looking at with Trump 2020? I mean, I have zero doubt the guy is going to stay in the headlines. He's going to stay there because he desperately wants to make this his party. And he's not going to go away. And when you look at this news, and I'll get back to this news in a second, clearly they knew that they were lying. Clearly, when they're trying to find some way for Vice President Pence to basically overrule, constitutional law to basically hand in the presidency, when you have the generals having to call China, who China is concerned that basically the United States is about to strike them so Trump could stay in power. When you have all this stuff going on, the more this comes on out, then the longer these investigations go and the longer these lawsuits uncover more and more stuff, the more unpopular he's going to become outside of that fervent, frothing at the mouth base that loves the guy. The reality is that if this goes really bad for the Republicans, it's I can't comprehend them after this midterm election, if it does go bad for them, embracing Trump in any capacity. They're going to have to pick up the pieces and try to find some other way out of this.
The Republicans as a party, and I include in this the RNC, they are basically resigned to the fact that Donald Trump will be the flashpoint of 2022. And they're going to see how that plays out before they have anything to say about 2024. So if Trump definitely is going to stay in the spotlight, he is definitely going to push all the narratives he's been pushing. And if, in fact, he does not, the party under that leadership does not win, frankly, I'd say both chambers in 2022, admitting that it's a tough sled on the Senate side. If he doesn't deliver in an appreciable way, you're going to see a lot of folks who say, okay, we don't need to lose the presidency once again, especially since it will very likely not be Joe Biden. It will be Kamala Harris. If she is an incumbent by that time, I don't know what kind of challenges she will face. If she is simply the sitting vice president in a four-year Biden administration, she's going to face a lot of challenges as well. But I think it's 2022, and I think that for a variety of reasons, but here's one good one. I had, was he vice chair? Yeah, vice chair of the Republican National Committee, I think. And then I had Ronna McDaniel on the program a few days after that. So you can see how my week has gone. But in any case...
Oh, you just dropped something.
I dropped two things, and they were real hard, and they just kind of broke open.
They flooded, yes.
Get a mop over there on aisle six to clean this up. But I said, what's the relationship between the Republican National Committee and President Trump? What's the relationship? Because you've got Trump's people tweeting things out, those that have a Twitter account, hashtag dump Ronna, you know, or whatever they want, because they're mad that all these donations went to the RNC and Trump wanted to have them in his coffers or control them. And so they have divergent interests. And I got the typical, we respect that Donald Trump has the ability to mobilize a lot of people. And then I said, well, is this open in 2024 if he runs? Well, we need to look at 2022 first. Mm. The RNC could not wait. I mean, their hair is on fire right now. They want him gone. They want their little country club back. And so they are not even pretending to be playing ball with Trump. So that's why 2022 is so important. They're going to do their part on the side, but they're going to kind of just let him either flame out or they'll claim victory when he does well. I tell you, though, even if Republicans do well, and it's in part because of Trump in 2022, I don't think he's running in 2024.
I don't think so either.
I really don't.
I don't think he is either.
Because what's he got to lose, right? Here's what he already won once, and now he's got they stole it from me. So now he can say, well, I'm not going to let them steal it from me again. I mean, this is going to be the exit strategy. Of course, I'm the guy who said he wasn't actually going to make it to the Iowa caucuses in 2016. So let's be fair. I'm not real good on Trump in terms of interpreting what he might do. I bet he doesn't run, all of his hints to the contrary aside, because that's how you keep people paying attention.
Well, and by the way, first of all, he pulls people out. I mean, I think whoever the Republican top of the ticket pulls people out, Trump, basically, he's not been pulling people out. We can go back to that Oklahoma City rally he had where pretty much the entire upper deck was empty. You know, you've got these, and unless he's going to really red meat Republican areas, he is not pulling in the crowds that he used to. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I agree with you. But I'll say this. I do not think that they're going to pick up the House. I'm actually going to go on the record right now. I do not. If Trump stays in this and continues to be this nightmarish candidate who, especially when it gets to the primaries, you're putting in, you know, more Madison Crawford type guys who are these just far right zealots. You're going to cost yourself, even with redistrict, even with gerrymandered Republican districts, it's going to cost them seats. And I think the longer this goes on, to a point, it's going to be a good thing for the Republicans, because if they don't win the House back, I guarantee you there's going to be an emergency removal of Donald Trump from the Republican Party as they frantically try to find something they can unify under for 2024. But I think the longer Trump stays in this, I think the Senate right now is a reach at best for the Republicans. And I'm actually, the longer he stays in this, I will actually put the House will stay in the Democrats' hands as well.
The Senate is a reach, and even Republicans are not, I mean, those who really pay attention, they're not going so far as to say, oh, yeah, it's 50-50 in the Senate, we'll get them next time, because they know which third is up, okay? The redistricting is interesting because you have, it depends on what state you're in, all right? I'm in a state that does it with a nonpartisan state agency that comes out with maps.
Yes.
But here's the interesting thing that we have here in your neighboring state of Iowa. They came out last week with the congressional district maps and the state house maps. And there are some big changes in the congressional districts. We only have four now. And basically, they've created one that is a solid Democrat district. They've created two that are pretty much Republican districts. And the fourth one is a toss-up. This is from a state that flipped two of the seats from blue to red last time. Okay, so there are a lot of Republicans going, oh, no, wait a minute here. This isn't as good as it was. Forget about the congressional, because it's the state house where the action is. Mm-hmm. State representatives and senators vote up or down on these redistricting maps in this state. They are concerned about their ox being gored. They don't give a rip about the congressional districts. That's what we look at because it's easy. There are 100 House members in Iowa, 50 senators. So that's 150 districts. 150 individuals currently hold office. Something like 60 of them would be in districts with fellow incumbents if the current map goes through. Now, how in the world do you think this is going to go? They're going to look at that and they're going to, you know, stroke their chins thoughtfully, and then they'll say, we think you should go back and run another computer model. Not because of the congressional districts, but because of their own districts. And in states where the people who vote on it have their own interest at heart, that's what's going to make this even more interesting. Yes, you could have some gerrymandered congressional districts, but I'm going to tell you there are 150 people voting in Des Moines, and they don't really care about that map. They care about their map.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we come on back, I want to get back into the coup attempt by Trump, as well as also the revelations. I don't know if you saw Woodward last night on Colbert, but the fairly terrifying justification for Miley to basically go to the Chinese and tell them, oh, don't worry, we're not going to allow this to happen. We'll talk about that as well. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us on a Wednesday. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. One of the interesting things about that November 14th memo that came on out. Now, the reason why that memo came to light was because a former executive with Dominion Voting is suing him personally for slander, basically. Basically saying that, you know, he fixed the election, which he did not do. And so this was discovery. This memo was part of the discovery that was released yesterday. One of the things I found that was very interesting is, basically, they said this actually opens the door for pretty much any employee of Dominion. If they can basically link to that this was an attack on them, any of these comments were an attack on them, can be a direct lawsuit against Trump. This could be the beginning of this guy, I don't know how much money he really does have, but he ain't going to be having a lot of it when this is all done.
Well, you know, there's always something when the phrase is, you know what, I'm going to own you. I'm going to own your company when we're done.
Yeah.
Yep, that does tend to have some impact. There were so many allegations that were bandied about by individuals who thought that they would have cover, because allegations are often made, especially as lawsuits are thrown around. Now, I know as a licensed attorney, you are not allowed to make frivolous lawsuit claims or else you can be sanctioned. But that's always in the past been a pretty loose definition, because just about anybody can create a tissue just enough to get in the door. You have seen some of these, though, where the lawyers who were very bold to start with all of a sudden started backing off because they didn't even get a hearing in any of this because it was such a flimsy case. And that, of course, is going to lead you, because people don't usually sue civilly for these things, right? They don't usually sue civilly. And you found somebody with this Dominion company that was not afraid to change the conversation. And that's going to really change dialogue going forward, don't you think?
Well, and you can probably repeat things once. I heard this on the internet, and you're probably going to get away with it. But if you repeat it 6, 7, 8 times, then the onus becomes to you. And you can basically just saying, well, I was just repeating what they said. And there comes a point where they say, well, you then should have done your due diligence and actually researched this, especially when you started hearing where the problem, the Mike Lindell kind of thing.
Well, that's the whole issue with libel and journalism. For example, if I say on my program, on my station, well, Matt McNeil on AM 950 said this, if Matt McNeil committed libel, I just repeated the libel and I am just as responsible. I cannot say, well, go talk to McNeil. It's his reporting. That doesn't let me off the hook for libel. So just as you're saying, you can't say, well, I heard the pillow guy. I like his bed sheets, so I figured he was right. You can't just use that as a defense. Not at all.
Woodward last night on Colbert said that the fear, the actual palatable fear of our allies overseas was that either that they were going to have to deal with an illegitimate president, because they all knew he was not the real president. This is referring to January 6th, that he could, was going to just to try to stay in power, was going to open fire on China, or was going to launch a nuclear missile somewhere as a way to try to stay in power. And this is one of the reasons why Miley was running around trying to put these fires out, saying, we're not going to allow him to do these things just to stay in power. And so it very interesting. The rest of the world was palatably terrified on January 6th about what was going on in this country.
Well, it's one thing for those on the right to say, how dare this general call these people? But yet they're the ones who, before the Trump administration took over, thought it was just fine for General Flynn to be calling folks all over the place. So, I mean, if you're a general and the commander-in-chief gives you a direct order, that's one thing. I don't think there was any direct order. There was an attempt to make sure that we did not have World War III that could have blown up the planet. And so when you put everything into context, you know, the general was not the only one who was concerned about these things, as we have learned. And it's not just people for political purposes. Well, Nancy Pelosi was talking to the general. Oh, shut up. Yes. How about the rank-and-file human who saw the movie Wag the Dog?
Well, and also you say, you have the case where Miley sees China started getting on a war footing, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? And he starts making, okay, what's going on here? Don't worry, that's going to happen. He does, I mean, as the leader of the military, he does see what's going on in these other countries, and he has to address that.
Well, and again, keep in mind that you've got an individual who has been full of bluster. His buddy Rudy Giuliani wanted to stay on as mayor of New York after 9/11, even though he was term barred. Said, well, you know, maybe I should stay on for 6 months. Never mind the election that's been interrupted. Same thing.
All right. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll spotlight this interview. I'll put the Iowa Politics Report out a little bit later on. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, my friend.
See you, buddy.
Cliff Schechter up next right here on AM 950.